Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Out of the Thanksgiving weekend, and I know you could have slept late, but we're trying to really kind of transition from turkey to Christmas. Amen? Yeah, it's kind of hard, but today that's where we're at, and as we do, we want to kick off this Advent season talking about our faith and what that really means for us in Christ and how we learn to be faithful in the midst of a world that really doesn't have any faith in much of anything at all. So as we're here today, I just kind of have maybe a prayer for us, but also want to point out one thing. I'm so glad that it finally showed up. So I'm going to embarrass him. He's not going to like this, but he deserves it. In a good way. So Will Stevens back here in college and through high school and through summers and school weeks and days and holidays has been so faithful here almost every Sunday. If he wasn't out doing some ministry somewhere else or on vacation with his family. And so we have never paid him a dime. You get paid at camp, but that's about it. And so one of the things that he talked about, he always wanted, I found out about, he didn't ask, is this keytar back here. Where'd that thing go? That's the coolest thing I think I've ever seen on the planet. And plus, I had to get bright red just so it would show up. And so that's kind of his new fun toy. I think he's embarrassed to play it because he feels like it's a little flashy, but I'm glad it's flashy, aren't you? That's cool. Will, thanks for all you do. Thanks for all your time. The only college student I know that gets up this early to be here for practice at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. So let me pray for us. And
Ingus.
Well, there's a few, not very many. So let me pray for us quickly and before we go downhill even farther. And let's give God all the glory and the honor today. Lord God, thank you. I'm just so thankful. Not because it's the Thanksgiving weekend, Lord. I'm thankful because of who you are in us and through us. I'm thankful for everyone that showed up today. Lord, for you. Lord, who gathered their family. Lord, who made it a priority. Either here in the room or online this morning. Lord, just the fact that we know where we need to be, Lord, and that's in your presence. Lord, I pray that it's not just now, but it's each and every waking moment of our life that we have this priority. Lord, that we would turn to you, we would look to you. Lord, we would give thanks to you. Lord, for the good days and the hard days. Father, for the for those times that we are filled with joy, and then those times that we are also filled with tears. Lord, because you are always with us. And Lord, we need to know that you are with us. So Lord, as we worship you today, reveal yourself, show yourself to us, because we are in the midst of your presence, whether we see you or not. We love you and we thank you in the name of Christ. All the people said, amen. Y'all be seated and just stay in an attitude of prayer. Lord God, we are, Lord, I feel you. I know you. I see you in our worship this morning. Lord, as we rightly name you, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, that you created us as your dwelling place. You are not far off. Lord, that you reside inside each and every one of us this very moment. Lord, and if we don't know that, if we don't understand that, if we don't feel that, Lord, I pray, Lord, I beg you, Lord, that you would make that known to whoever's in doubt today. Lord, that you would make that known to whoever has never had the experience of a God with them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Because it will change lives as you intended when that happens. We will be full of your truth and your grace. We will be full of your mercy. Lord, we will look forward and not back. So Lord, come, show us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the Reese family if they'll come up. They're going to start our Advent season with the scripture today and lighting the Advent candle. If you're not familiar with the Advent candle, we light one candle every Sunday leading up to Christmas Eve, where we usher in Christ by lighting the Christ candle in the middle. Every one of these candles has a representation that we talk about in some form or fashion each week. Today's the hope candle to talk about the hope of the world coming to us.
Advent means an event is coming. Really, it means that someone is coming. During Advent, we prepare ourselves for Jesus coming into our lives. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. The Word made flesh, John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. As we think of Jesus coming into our lives, we should examine our relationships with family, friends, classmates, business associates, and neighbors. As we think of Jesus coming into our lives, we should ask ourselves, is our faith reflected in each experience we have with others? As we think of Jesus coming into our lives, we should ask ourselves, do people in our relationships realize that we know the meaning of Christmas?
Almighty and loving God, we have searched our hearts and reviewed our love for You. Some relationships overflow with love while others need improvement. Our desire is that You are involved in every human relationship and experience. Let our hope be known, and let it be known in us and through us. We ask in the name of Jesus Himself. Amen.
Amen. You know, when you're in leadership, you're always taught to try to put yourself out of a job. Have you ever heard that? And so if I don't show up, then everything just runs smoothly. And I've almost got it down, almost. I've tried to convince any of the Mitchell kids. I tried in the back to get some other kids to preach today. No one would have it, so I've got one more task left, and just to get someone to be able to step in and offer a word on a Sunday morning, and then I may just disappear one Sunday and just surprise everybody. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, it'd be fun to me. I don't know about the rest of y'all. It'd be fantastic. I bet you know someone, though, who is like that, who has faith that is just super outrageously strong. No matter what life throws at them, no matter how easy life is or how hard life is, whatever the circumstances are, some way they always remain connected to Christ, and they always let Christ inform all of their choices, their decisions, their responses. You know someone like this, or maybe you are like this and you don't want to admit it. Maybe you want to be like this. Maybe you used to be like this, right? Maybe you're trying to regain or re-strengthen that faith that you once had, but somewhere along the journey of life, it just kind of dwindled. It kind of, the flame of faith got a little smaller and a little dimmer. Maybe you're looking for first-time faith. Maybe someone joining us online today. Or really, I know this is hard to believe, but it does happen. And it happens regularly. It may be first-time faith for somebody that's been coming to church all of their life, and they really never have found faith. Because of the way I prayed earlier, they've never really known that God was with them, that lived inside of them. There was never that great revelation of who God is in their life. And so that's where I want to spend all of Advent, all of December, is talking about this faith that we are supposed to have in God, that we are supposed to have in Christ, but maybe we just don't have it like we know we should or like we once did. Or, as I said, there's someone we would like to have the faith as strong as they do. And so The reason I want to talk about it, because faith, I know you're going to laugh at this. It really sounds silly to say, but faith was really important to Jesus. Now, I know that sounds crazy to say, but there were really only two times that Jesus verbally acknowledged that he was really astonished by anything. Okay? And the first time was this person that was really what we would think of as a non-Christian, somebody that was a Roman soldier that was not a part of the Jewish faith, that was not a follower of Christ per se, especially since Christ was so new on the scene, but still, he wasn't one of the inner circle or one of the crowds following that we know of, but this Roman soldier had such faith in Jesus that when there was a member of his household that had died, right? That was ill, and that he wanted Jesus to heal them. He just came to Jesus and said, "You don't have to come to my house. Whatever you say will be done, because I know you are a man of authority, spiritual authority, like I am over soldiers in authority." Jesus said he was astonished at this man's faith. Matter of fact, he said, he's found no one in all of Israel at this point. Now think about it. He is God. He knows. Like, there's no one in all of Israel that he had ever found that had the faith of this one man. Now, that's a big deal. And Scripture says it uses the word astonished. I mean, and let me tell you what the biblical definition is. He says that it was amazed. The actual Greek term is this: extraordinarily impressed. How many of you have ever been extraordinarily impressed by anything? And yet Jesus said when he looked at this man and he heard this, he was extraordinarily impressed by this one person's faith, and he really wasn't even a follower of Jesus at that point. Now then, there was one other time also where Jesus was extraordinarily impressed about faith, is when he went to his hometown, his own hometown, and he was there and he was with family and he was with friends and he was out in the community. He had healed some people, some miracles had taken place, all of this stuff, and yet they started to not believe who Jesus said that he was. Has started to see him. Anybody ever, I mean, I think that most of us in some way or another, I don't mean arrogantly at all. I know you and I know what your life is and I know most of your jobs, and even if you're just a teenager and you're in high school, I mean, there are a lot of successful people in this room. And when I say successful, I mean, you've made a life, okay? You're educated in some way, you own businesses, you're high up in your companies, you're successful in your jobs, you're successful in school. I mean, y'all are doing pretty well, okay? And in just in life, and forget about jobs, just look at your families and the success you have had and just all of the different things, okay? And so, but when you go back home, right? How many of you ever have gone back to your hometown and you've gone back to, so for me, I'm just going to talk about Plainview for a minute. Going back to First Methodist Church in Plainview, which is really not where I grew up, but that's where I spent my high school days. And so a couple of years ago, I went back. We had a meeting there and it was at night, and there were a whole bunch of volunteers from the church running the meeting and helping and serving. And I recognized all of them. Now, granted, I look a little different than I did back when I was 17 or 18, even though that was just a couple of years ago. And, hey, who said that, Rusty, back there? I know I look different, okay, but I don't look that different. I mean, just put some hair back on me and I look exactly the same, right? And so I go back and I'm seeing all these people and I'm talking to them, and they don't really even recognize me, okay? And so then I finally kind of, it's like, you know, undercover boss. I don't know what the deal was there. I kind of finally introduced myself. And a couple of them, I mean, one guy I'll never forget, went hunting with him. I mean, I hung out with this guy. And he looks at me and he goes, "Well, I'll be. You actually did make something of yourself." Like, I don't know if that was a backhanded compliment or a front-handed insult. I'm not sure what it was, but it's kind of what Jesus was experiencing. As he went back home, he was still the carpenter's kid. Even though he was revealing who he really was, people still saw him as they assumed that he was. They were still seeing him based on their assumptions as he grew up. I know people that leave church. If your children, if you have children in this church and they grow up, there's a good chance. I pray that they don't. I hope that they don't, because I don't believe this. I don't subscribe to this line of thinking. But some people have to leave their parents and their home church to go someplace else so they can actually grow up and be treated as mature adults in a new place, in a new family of faith. And a lot of people do it. I've seen it. We've had great friends had to leave and go to another church because their parents were here. This is what was happening to Jesus. Isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's kid? Isn't this the kid carpenter? Isn't this the one that was running around and playing and all these things? He can't be who he says he is. And as he goes through that and experiences that, he was once again exceedingly, amazingly astonished at their lack of faith. So for me, when Jesus talks about faith, it really is the only two times that he was surprised and he was amazed, where he was astonished. And so I think for us, it really is an issue of faith. And he even says at one point, he goes, when I return, where will I find? Will I even find one person of faith left? How is it with your faith today? How is it as we approach Christmas Day and all the things that go on during Christmas season? Is it about the gifts? Is it about the holiday? Is it about all the trappings? Is it about the parties? Is it about the stress? Is it about the money? Or is it about the Savior? Where is your faith today, and how are you going to do that? Because I think the question is, as we think about who Christ is, I think the real question is, deep down inside of us, we all have this question about who is God in this God Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. Can we ever really know him? Can we ever? I think early on in life, we think we can grasp it all and we can attain it all. And we go through youth group or confirmation classes. We get baptized. We go to camp or we go on a walk to Emmaus. We have a mountaintop experience and we think it's great. And it's just going to keep happening and it's going to keep happening. And we're going to grow and we're going to grow and we're going to grow. And what really happens is, for so many of us, we grow. Tired, we grow stale, we grow accustomed to, we grow comfortable. And then we start our flame, as I said, our flame of faith starts going out and going down. The question is, do you really have a desire to know who God is? Not some esoterical, some pie in the sky, some philosophical idea, but really to know who God is. And I think the question we ask ourselves, can I really know who God is? And the answer is yes. You heard the passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read just part of it quickly from John 1:1 through 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. I'm going to skip down. It says at the very end, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The question is, when you think about, can you really know God? The answer is yes, and it is so simple. Really, really simple is to look at Jesus. Now, I know that sounds like such a Sunday school answer. It sounds like a children's sermon. It sounds like whatever you want to say. How can I really know God? How can I know his heart? How can I know his actions? How can I know his mindset? How can I know his philosophies? How can I know his truths? Look at Jesus. Look at how he lived. Look at how he spoke. Look at how he acted. Look at how he treated people. Look at how he responded to people. That is how you know God, because he is the Word made flesh. This whole Christmas season, as you see all the nativity scenes and you hear all the arguments for and against Christmas and for and against the birth of Christ and all the different things, if you really want to know God, go to Scripture and look at Jesus. If you really, really, really want to know his heart, that's where you go and you look, because he was the Word made flesh. The one thing that the reason I think we get disappointed in God, and some of you are going, Did he just really say out loud, you can be disappointed with God? Raise your hand. I can't really see you, but raise your hand if you have ever been disappointed with God. I've got mine up twice at least. The rest of you are just afraid to admit it because you think you're going to get struck by lightning. No, you can. You are going to be, or you have been, disappointed in God because of one reason we get disappointed in God is based on our wrong assumptions of who God is. See, I want to change your assumptions of who God is based on who Christ is, based on how he lived, based on what he taught us, based on how he left us with the power of his Holy Spirit, not on any other reason. Because if we believe like we say we believe, then we really believe based on how Jesus lived, not always how we were taught. And the church teaches you, by the way, not this church, hallelujah, because I'm the pastor, you are not going to get taught wrong things about God. Even though I was taught growing up a few wrong things, and so were you, okay? And maybe I really was taught those, or maybe I heard something and I made some assumptions that I didn't really study. Maybe I made some assumptions because I didn't go read Scripture and I didn't go look for it and I didn't test it out. I just took it for granted I knew what I was talking about. None of us are that bold, are we? Every one of us, right? And so what do we? How do we not do that? It's called a relationship. It's called looking to Jesus. A minute ago, here's what I think that I want to say to you, and what I said was we need to have faith. We need an object of our faith. And Jesus came, and he said, I am the object of your faith, right? He came, and he said in John 14:1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, so if you think part of why our hearts are troubled is because we don't think we can attain knowledge of God, we don't think we can get close to him, we don't think we can ever know his heart and his mind, we don't think we can ever be like him, and so we kind of shy away from all that, but he says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He made himself the object of your faith. So simple. The object of your faith is Jesus. Look at him. Listen to him and follow him. Jesus is basically saying, this is it. All of our lives. Jesus is saying, if you want to know who God is, watch me. If you want to know who God is, listen to me. And if you want to know who God is, follow me. That's just the three basic tenets of our Christian faith over and over and over again in him. Because here's what happens, though, is we start believing and then we stop right there. See, believing, I'm going to put it up here because it's so true. You have to read this and you have to let this soak in. Believing is not faith. Just because you believe in Jesus or you believe in God, that's not you having faith in him. Scripture even says, Dallas, we were texting back and forth some of these thoughts I had in my head, and before I could even get it back to him to kind of go through this thought process, he goes, even the demons believe in God. See, it's a whole different mindset beyond belief to have faith, because faith really is living out what you believe. Not just having a mindset, but living out your mindset to have your faith flow through your life and back to that person I said you might know, where everything is shaped by a Christ-centered authority in you, where every decision, where every thought process is really filtered through Christ, where every action, every reaction, every response is filtered through him. That's living out your faith. And we're not all going to get it right every time, but it really is important to get to that place because Jesus came to establish a one-on-one relationship. Okay? There's a passage in Colossians. I put it in the notes today. I didn't put it up on the screen. That's why I always want you to get the notes so you can get the extra. There's a passage in Colossians in chapter 2, and it talks about how he's really talking about false religions. He's talking about pagan rituals. He's talking about just lifestyles that aren't Christ-centered, that aren't God-centered. And he said, all of these things are just a shadow of what was to come. All of those things are just a mere nothing of what really was to come in Christ Jesus. And when Christ Jesus comes, he casts a new shadow on society. He casts a new shadow on those that believed in God. He casts a new shadow of faith. But here's the thing about a shadow. I love this analogy. I did not come up with this, but here's this analogy of a shadow. Is that a shadow really is, I'm just looking behind me. There is a shadow of me back over here. It does kind of give me an outline. It kind of gives a representation of what is casting the shadow, right? And a shadow can kind of inform us about whatever is casting the shadow, but it's really incomplete. The only thing that can complete the shadow is the one that's casting the shadow, the object. Remember, Jesus came to be the object of our faith. And so Jesus, if you want to know who God is, don't just look at the shadow of religion. Don't just look at the trappings of a church. Don't just think about all the events and all the things you can do. Think about the one that you need to have the object of your faith in. Because when John was writing that passage of Scripture where he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God." That word believe, this is so cool. I love this. And you got to be a Bible geek to really understand and to research and to know this. That word believe is really the first time it was ever used in the Greek language, because there was no word for something that was called trust in. There was really no word for having faith in. There was faith about, but not having belief or trust in. And John made a new word, and when he did, it was about putting our trust in something, someone. Not the shadow, but the one casting the shadow. Not the trappings, not the rituals, but the one who is the author. Right? Not just your faith. You ready? Not just the shadow of your faith, but the author and the perfecter of your faith. That's the one. That's the one that shows us who God is. That's where we learn about Him. That's where we take this Christmas season and turn it on its head upside down and figure out why we do what we do, why we celebrate the way we celebrate, or maybe why we should turn the way we celebrate into more of the object of our faith and not all the trappings, not all the other stuff. I want you to do, I say it every year, I want you to do all the traditions. I want you to do the trees. I want you to put up the Christmas lights, but do not turn them on until after Thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. And take them down off of your house when Christmas is over. Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox. And just, I want you to do all those things. I want you to have fun. I mean, we do those things, but that is not the object of our faith. It is not, and it cannot be. And if it is, you miss everything about it, and you just have the shadow. You just have the outline. You just have the trappings. You don't have the Savior. And so Jesus came. God sent His one and only begotten Son for one reason, for us to have a one-on-one relationship with Him, for us to not do like they did in all of the Old Testament and try to figure out who God was. He sent Jesus so we would know who God is, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That the prophecy that He will be called Emmanuel, God with us, right? Not far off, but with us. And so how is it with you? If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know the thought processes of God, and again, I know we can't know everything, but we can get really close. And He will reveal Himself to us over and over and over and over again if you just look for Him. So here's what I would encourage you, whether you're here, whether you've been a Christian all of your life, or whether you're just starting, or whether you're just exploring, maybe you stumbled online, maybe you're at your family's house and they said, "We'll sleep in today, but we're going to get up and we're going to watch online." Maybe you're being forced to watch online. Good for those people. And you're just trying to figure all this out, here's what I would encourage you to do. Just go read the book of Matthew. Don't start in Genesis. Don't let somebody say, "You want to know who God is? Start in Genesis." Don't do that. So confusing, so hard. Go to Matthew And just start reading in Matthew to know who God is in Christ. And just go through that book. Even if you never read another entire book of the whole Bible, just read Matthew. Because it gives a great synopsis of who Christ is and how God is and who God is. And then you can catch up with some of the other things. You can start reading Luke and John, and you can go to Colossians, and you can go to Thessalonians, and you can go back to Genesis and all those others. You can do that. Start with Matthew. Because if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God thinks and how God acts, go and look at Jesus. Because he is the one. I want, I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, but I'm also going to ask Ashley if she'll come back up. As we were singing that God is with us and His name is Wonderful and Counselor, and He will be called Emmanuel. I started saying in my head, we can turn it into a third person really easy. What I want to do this Christmas season, this whole time of Advent leading up to Christmas, have the expectation that God is not going to be the third person, that God is always going to be the first person in Jesus Christ in your life. That the Holy Spirit will always be personal to you and not otherly to you. If I can, my gosh, if I can get us there, we've got it made. Forever. If we can just get to that place where we know that He is always with us, then our lives will change. Everything will change. So I'm going to ask them to sing that bridge or chorus or whatever y'all call that thing. And just don't turn it into His name. Turn it into your name. Sing that to Him. Your name will be wonderful. Your name is Counselor. Your name is Emmanuel. And let that just be your prayer for a minute. Let that be how we end our time here together, but how we begin the Advent season, the expectation that the one who comes will be the one that is with you all the days of your life.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.